To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
We had a conversation on one of our program owners' Zooms recently about how the world really works and how, when we let our energy flow, the flow of universal energy responds. Now, I know that it's going to sound strange. It's going to sound outrageous to the normal thinking mind. But actually, in the course of that conversation, one of the online program owners recommended a particular book that explains how modern quantum physics is actually playing catch up with what the human race knew 10 or 12,000 years ago in the world before thought. That's the easiest way to describe it, because there are writings from that time that talk about the perfect time when we did what we needed to do without thinking about the need to do it. When we were honest with each other without thinking about the fact that it might be honesty. And perhaps most importantly, when we wanted for nothing. We simply were in the moment. And I suspect maybe that is one of the reasons why we call ourselves human beings. To be in the moment is to discover who you really are and to discover how the world really works. And yet, 96% of people on this planet, according to decades of research, are human thinkings. They're not involved in their lives at all. They are buried in their heads, buried in the world of thought. Wanting. A curse on the human race, this thing called want. We really only started wanting 7 or 8,000 years ago with the development of agriculture and the development of what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine too, as a result of tribalism. We really only started wanting back then. Before that, we were free, we were liberated. In fact, we hadn't really been poisoned by the plague of everyday thought at all. And yes, modern neuroscience tells us, according to the neural lab in UCLA, that the modern mind is plagued by 70,000 thoughts every waking day. And by that I mean, these 70,000 thoughts whiz through our head when we are awake. It is our thinking mind that falls asleep at night. And that is why, just as an aside, but an important one, modern cognitive psychology recommends that if we have a decision to make, we sleep upon it. Because once our thinking mind falls asleep, we are clear to understand what is going on and understand what the best thing is to do to move forward. And that is why, just to stick on this important aside for a moment, that is why I recommend to anybody and everybody with whom I've ever worked that before they go asleep at night, one of the last things they should ask themselves is, what is the next most important thing I need to do? Because generally speaking, your non-thinking mind, your intuition, your gut instinct, will provide you with an answer the following day. Not necessarily first thing in the morning, but generally speaking, during the course of the day, when you are not thinking about it. Let's get back to the core subject of this week's episode, the curse of want. Now, never mind wanting what somebody else has and the jealousy that goes with that. Never mind that. We'll come on to that in a minute. But let's start with the fundamental want of being wanted. The need we think we all have to be liked. The way in which we go about collecting friends so that we bolster our own poor opinion of ourselves, so that we develop a better or even a good opinion of ourselves. Now, when we're using our minds normally, it is inevitable that we will have a bad opinion of ourselves because of the way in which those 70,000 thoughts to which I referred a minute ago congeal to create programs that we learned when we were young and impressionable, from psychological snapshots that we took when we felt bad about ourselves as a result of things being done to us or things being said to us, possibly little throwaway remarks that adults thought to be a joke at the time, but which the three-year-old, without a sense of humour, took on board as an insult or something that made us feel bad about ourselves. We're actually built to think bad about ourselves because feeling negative, feeling under threat, kept us on our toes during evolutionary times when our thinking mind actually developed. So on the basis that we have a poor opinion of ourselves, we almost crave a better opinion of ourselves. We certainly want other people to want us. It's nice to be liked. And yet I recollect a conversation, in fact, I only had a similar conversation a couple of days ago with someone who told me she had very few connections. I said, you don't need many connections. You need a couple of real friends. And indeed, you don't even need that. We'll come on to how we might go about setting our minds to have the right friends in our lives in just a couple of minutes. But I recounted a story to her of a similar conversation I had had with a girl who lives just outside London a number of years ago, who has lived on her own all her life and has, to use her own words, collected friends. She said, I'm a collector of friends. And she said, the more friends I collect, the more I realize that most of them aren't my friends at all. They're actually only connections. And she said, I really only began to realize that when I started meditating and realizing that I wasn't as bad as I thought I was. Again, one of the key points that we're exploring in this particular episode. But as I said to her at the time, I said, really, all you need is a couple of really good friends. What you're doing is akin to buying fast fashion, a load of Zara and H&M clothes that really are not the kind of quality that you need in your life. Wouldn't you be better off buying a couple of designer outfits? And she said, no, I'm a collector of fast fashion. I said, you need to get rid of your fast fashion and you need to focus on having one or two really, really good friends. Because most people that you hang around with, they're not your friends. They want you to like them in the same way as the normal thinking mind that we normally use on an everyday basis wants to be liked by other people. As we've said before in this podcast, so much of our energy is wasted worrying about what other people think about us when in fact they're not. They're worried about what we're thinking about them. Most people will hang out in what we call tribes to make themselves feel better for a variety of reasons, not least of which that during evolutionary times there was safety in numbers. If we strayed from the herd, we were easy pickings for the man and woman eating beasts that roamed the fields and the bushes in those days. But there are no man-eating or woman-eating beasts these days. We don't need to be part of a tribe. We only think we need to be part of a tribe. Again, I recollect a conversation with a one-to-one client of mine a number of years ago who told me that the previous evening, the evening before we were talking on Zoom, his wife had said to him, are you going to spend time with me and the kids this evening or are you going to go out with your mates to watch Liverpool playing in the Champions League? And in that moment, it dawned on him that he was only hanging out with a group of guys with whom he had gone to school 30 years earlier because they shared this notion, and that, as it turns out, is all it was, that they were Liverpool supporters. That's the only thing that they had in common. And he realized it actually meant nothing to him, and they meant nothing to him, in comparison to the most important people in his life, obviously other than himself. In other words, his nearest and dearest and his two children. He realized that I don't need tribes. I don't need to hang out in a herd. I'm good enough as I am. Now, this is really important because it goes to the fundamental want that we all have. We want to be wanted. We want to be liked. And we want to be liked because we don't like ourselves. If you know yourself, you'll realize that you are enough. If you know yourself, you'll realize that you are beautiful. If you know yourself, you'll understand and appreciate that you are flowing energy in a universe of flowing energy. And when you take want out of the equation, when you remove want from your life, suddenly it's like opening the floodgates and allowing your energy flow freely, because it is the want that blocks your ability to be. Full stop. It is the want that blocks your ability to be a human being, to actually be present in the here and now. All want flows from our perceived inadequacy. I want what the other guy has because I'm jealous of him, because he looks successful and happy, and I don't feel successful and happy. Now, it isn't that I'm not successful and happy. It's just that I think I'm not successful and happy. You see, here's the big problem with want. What I want is designed to fill my need to feel better about myself and to feel that I am happy and successful. And broadly speaking, that want is done in comparison to those around me. It goes back to tribalism 7,000 years ago. We've a nice bit of land here, but the tribe over there has a nicer bit of land because the far off hills are green. We want that too. It's the same thing nowadays. If we were to take a step back, regardless of the circumstances of our lives, and realize that, first of all, we're alive and kicking, we're breathing, then we would begin to realize that actually I don't need some of the things that I think I want, that other people have. One of the first things I ask people when I work with them, and indeed one of the first things that online program owners are asked in the early stage of the online program, is what are the kind of things that you want in your life? Now, that is different from what do you want? Because if I ask the question that way, their thinking mind would say, well, I want all the things that other people have that I don't have that would make me as happy and successful as they are. It's called comparative thinking, and it is one of the worst forms of thinking embedded in the 70,000 thoughts that are whizzing through our head every day. So we want to be liked. We want other people to want us. We want stuff that we don't have. And we want to achieve goals and objectives that our thinking mind thinks we can achieve. Now, the last point is really important, because again, we had a conversation on a program owner Zoom a couple of weeks ago where somebody said that they had got to the point of understanding how to set realistic goals for themselves. And they were leapt upon by their fellow online program owners, and I pretended to shoot them on Zoom, because realistic is one of the thinking mind's get into jail free cards. Let me explain. Our thinking minds have us in a box. That box was created for us when we were 2 or 3 years old, largely speaking. That's when we learned the fundamental stuff about ourselves and how the world works. That is the point in time when we learned what's possible and what's impossible. But actually, as it turns out, because of the way in which we learned it, it's only what we think is possible and what we think is impossible. You can achieve anything to which you set your mind. Or if I can put it in more ordinary everyday language, you can achieve anything in which you believe. Realistic. Oh, I'll set realistic goals for myself. Realistic is a cop-out. Realistic means that I will live down to my expectations, those that I learned when I was young and impressionable. Realistic is a word that should not be in your vocabulary. It was the last of the things that I mentioned in the chain of wants a couple of minutes ago. I want to be wanted. I want to be liked. I want what other people have. I want to move forward. I want to set goals for myself. And I want to set realistic goals for myself. Forget the last bit completely. And indeed, forget everything else as well, because we get what we want when we stop wanting. Now, I've said that a couple of times on this podcast over the last couple of months. And effectively, what I'm saying is what I said a minute ago in a different way, that when we stop wanting, we open the floodgates of our own energetic flow and the floodgates of universal flow to give us not what we want, not what we think is realistic, but what is best for us. Now, it is very easy for me to say you get what you want when you stop wanting. It is very easy for some of the people with whom I work and many of my online program owners to say that the minute I stopped wanting, the things that were best for me fell into my lap. It's easy for them to say that because that has happened for them, but they've been through a process. That's indeed what the online program is all about. That's what we're exploring here and have been exploring for the almost 250 episodes of this podcast. That's what we're exploring every Thursday morning, all the way back to 2008 when I send out my Thursday morning videos. If you're not getting those, if you're not signed up for those, there's nearly 1,000 of them at this stage, you can use the link in whatever podcast player on which you're listening to this. A process. A process, first of all, of discovering what you are. A process of realizing that you're not who you thought you were. And a process of beginning to experience the results that flow from that. And you see, the results that flow from letting yourself be, back to what I said right at the beginning of this episode, the results that flow from letting yourself be confirm to you that you get what is best when you want for nothing. All right, let's analyze wanting for nothing. Because clearly, as human beings, it's part of our nature to move forward. And indeed, as an integral part of universal energy, it is incumbent upon us to keep moving forward, because otherwise our energy becomes stagnant. And then we are part of the problem in this world rather than part of the solution. We need to keep flowing forward. But flowing forward isn't the same as wanting. Flowing forward is not the same as even having goals. And God help us, flowing forward has nothing to do with planning to move forward. Flowing forward means that all good things will fall into your lap at the perfect moment. Now, there's a phrase that you will have heard in this podcast before, and it relates back to what I said earlier on in this episode with regard to getting all that is best for you when you set your mind. Or as I said just a couple of minutes ago, you can get that to whichever you set your mind. I used the colloquial phrase as well. You can get anything in which you believe. Same difference. Setting your mind is handwriting what I call a perfect moment. Now, we're not talking about perfection here, because there's no such thing as perfection in this life. But we can all appreciate the fact that at some point in time, all has felt perfect. We've had a perfect moment. It might be the birth of a child. It might be a beautiful setting sun. It might be a happy Christmas meal, although a lot of people don't experience perfect moments at Christmas. But it's, you know, coming into summer. That's another day's work. We don't need to talk about that right now. But we've all experienced a moment which is, wonderful. Beautiful. This is how we set our minds to achieve what is best for us, because in doing so, we give ourselves and our subconscious mind a new psychological snapshot. That's the way in which we learned about how the world worked in the first place when we were 2 or 3 years old, when we took psychological snapshots that we didn't have control over. We didn't understand which were the good ones to take and the bad ones to take. And on the basis of the way in which our mind evolved, we took more bad ones than good ones. And that's why we're predisposed to being negative and feeling that we want to be wanted, want to be liked. Coming back to the point that I was making, we move forward by setting our minds to experience perfect moments. Now, we don't even need to know what those perfect moments are. What am I saying there? Because we're going to cover this in an upcoming episode. At least I probably will cover it in an upcoming episode. We don't need to know where we're going, because the most important thing we need to know is where we are. We need to know what it feels like to be in the here and now, because it is in the here and now that we live our lives, and it is in the here and now that we experience perfect moments, because our lives are only lived in the here and now. Now, if you're using your thinking mind, you're missing the here and now completely. In other words, you're wasting your life, or your life is passing you by. Now, let's pause on that for just a moment, because that is possibly one of the most important reasons why we need to take control of our state of mind so that we experience the here and now. We do that through meditation. You will have heard me say that 100,000 times at this stage. We're not going to go into meditation in this episode today, other than to say that if you don't meditate, you're not training your mind to experience the here and now, and the chances of you actually experiencing the here and now using your normal mind are slim to none. In other words, you're missing your life. That is why it's so important that we meditate. But when we train our mind to experience the here and now, and when we experience the here and now, when our training is done, in other words, during the course of the day, not when we're meditating. When we experience the here and now during the course of the day, we're no longer thinking. We're no longer wanting. We're just being. And when we are, when we be, if I can put it like that, first of all, as a result of not thinking, our energy flows freely. As a result of that, we create a coherent electromagnetic pulse that flows through our body. We're talking science here for just a moment. That gives off photons of light, and those photons of light that come off our primavascular system flow out into the universe, and embedded in those photons of light are our intentions. Those intentions go out into the universe, and the universe, universal energy, responds. As I said, we're talking science here. We're not talking wishful thinking or voodoo. We're talking the real thing, how the world really works. You don't need to know the specificity of your intentions. That's the important point, because it is when we start thinking about what our intentions should be or are that we fall back into want. You need to stop wanting. You need to start being. As I said a few minutes ago, it's easy for me to say that, and it's easy for many of the people with whom I work to say that. But what about you, who may be coming to this from a position of what you think is real want? What I mean by that is, there are an awful lot of people in this world who are struggling. We've all been struggling from time to time, or at least we thought we were struggling. And by that I mean, you know, things go pear-shaped in our lives. Our daily lives are full of everyday challenges. But if we think we're struggling, we make meeting those challenges so much more difficult that we confirm to ourselves that we can't have the things that are best for us in this life, and that we need to struggle to move forward. That's all nonsense, and that is all born out of thought. If I simply am in the present moment, experiencing how it feels to be in the present moment as a result of my training myself to experience how it feels to be in the present moment, if I'm in the present moment and I'm confronted by the inevitable challenges of everyday life, I'm going to do what I need to do without thinking about it, which makes doing what I need to do far easier to the point of effortlessness. And I am inevitably going to move forward, and I'm going to move forward moment to moment by being present without wanting to move forward. So if you're coming to this from a position of what you consider to be real want, and you haven't been through the process that the people with whom I work continually work through, well, first of all, more fool you, because your life depends on working through that process. But step by step by step here, if you are coming from a position of perceived real want, why don't you frame your wants in softer terms? so that you take the edge off your want, so to speak. In other words, if you would like to achieve something, say you're looking for a new job, or say you would like your business to go better, or say you're looking for a relationship, or looking for the relationship that you're in to be a better relationship. Instead of saying that you need these things or you want these things, why don't you say to yourself that you care to have these things in your life? It softens the desire. It softens the jealousy that comes from wanting what you don't have. It softens the want to be wanted. It makes it easier to move forward because you're no longer craving what you don't have. In other words, to be practical about this, say you're in a job you don't like at the moment and you want a job that you would like. Well, first of all, the thinking mind will say that's probably unrealistic in the circumstances of today's job market. Leave that aside. That's only your thinking mind. You know, somebody said to me recently she wants to move to a different part of the UK, but there are very few job opportunities there. To which I replied, you're only looking for one. You only need one job opportunity. And that job opportunity will find you if you stop thinking that there are limited job opportunities. In other words, let yourself go. Stop wanting. Say to yourself, I would prefer to have a job where I would experience everyday perfect moments. Now, that is a practical example of how we can let ourselves loose, let ourselves off the hook, stop wanting and start preferring, so that in doing so, we take the pressure off ourselves, lighten up on ourselves, chill a little bit. And in chilling and in lightening up a bit, we begin to experience the wonder of the here and now. Now, there's a caveat with that, because you're never going to simply be able to say to yourself, oh, let's experience the wonder of the here and now, deliberately. It may come on you by accident almost, as I said earlier on, when you experience, for example, a beautiful sunset. But you can't say to yourself, I'm deliberately going to experience the here and now today, unless you've trained yourself to experience the here and now through meditation. But as I said a few minutes ago, meditation is only the training. We meditate so that we are chilled and present when we're not meditating, because that's when life happens. Now, 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 in each here and now. As always, there are a couple of key takeaways from this particular episode. Number one, want is just the product of thought. Number two, thought is divorcing you from the reality of the here and now. Number three, when you experience the here and now, you'll get better than what you thought you wanted. By liberating yourself, allowing yourself flow, allowing your energy talk to universal energy, and allowing all good things fall into your lap. Now that I've said that in the way in which I've just said it, that kind of sums up the process through which we all need to go to allow ourselves be, allow ourselves be free, and allow ourselves experience all good things.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.